But not only is it said that men are to give an account, and we've looked at this idea of rendering an account, it is also added in the paragraph how extensive that account is. How far is the orbit of the judge to reach that day? Yes, it's to reach to all men, all persons that ever lived upon the earth have come before the tribunal of God. So it'll reach all men. It'll also reach each man. And as it reaches each man, it goes to a very thorough extent in that man, because the divine say, give an account of their thoughts, words, and deeds. Thoughts, words, and deeds. And that's the important part now in the phrase, thoughts, words, and deeds. It reaches to the thoughts, the words, and the deeds of each man, every man. Now you notice the order in which the divines give this. Thoughts, then they're following up to the words, then they're following to the deeds. And that's the order from the heart. Outward. From the heart, where the thoughts are coming from, they're originating in the heart. They're not seeing the thoughts, but they take expression in the words, the sinful words, and then they go beyond that into the deeds. And so there's a proper order here. That's a biblical order. Right at the heart, the thoughts are, and then the procession out of that. And the Lord Jesus said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. That's the first thing. That's where he begins, the thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. So it begins with the thoughts, but then there's these words, these deeds. All have to be accounted for. Now, words and deeds do not surprise us. We know that that is the case. The Bible is very clear in that. Revelation 20, verse 12 again. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Thoughts, words, deeds. And here's the judgment according to the works. So the works are very clearly described as coming into the orbit of the judgment of God. Jude verse 15, that the Lord is coming to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed. So here's the judgment of the deeds, all their ungodly deeds. They're to be convinced of the ungodliness of those deeds in that day. The Lord's coming to convince them of that whenever they are forced to render an account. But it doesn't only say their ungodly deeds, but it also adds, and of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And so it not only goes to their actions, but it also to their speeches and to the things that they have said when they were speaking against God. Even their words are judged, their speeches, their blasphemy, and their false witness and deceit. It's all to be answered for, words as well as deeds. Then 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And that verse, there's an emphasis on the doing, that what is done by the body. Now, the body speaks words, and that could be in view here, the mouth, the tongue, but also the actions of the body through the members of the body, what he's done with his body in those wicked deeds. Or if there were good deeds, whether good or bad, it's all judged. It all comes into the pot, as it were, for this judgment. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So here again, the works, the good ones and the evil ones, it's all coming into the picture. It's not just the sins and the bad works that are entering into this judgment, but also the good works. The good works of God's people. And then Matthew 12, verse 36, in relation to the words, the Lord Jesus says, I say unto you, and whenever he uses that expression, he's just using his authority. He doesn't say like the prophets, thus saith the Lord. Jesus Christ has his own divine authority, and he says, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So you see what the Lord is saying here. Every idle word is going to come into the court. It's going to come into the judgment. And they shall give account thereof. What did you say? This is what you said. Why did you say this? And they will either be justified because the motives were good and right, or by those words, as they're forced to give an account, they will see that they are justly condemned. And so it's all brought before them. And the searching's going on in the heart as the motives are being examined and the account has to be rendered so that the justice of the sentence will be seen for what it is. And so that's a very important verse there on words as well as deeds. It is also clear, however, and the divines are quite right, that God must go deeper. Not just the words and the deeds, but the very motives he knows. And they must be examined, therefore the thoughts. Now on earth, the courts of judgment can examine deeds and even words, but not thoughts. No judgment can really judge your thoughts. Can't stop what a man thinks. It's only when it becomes action that it is able to be judged. But in God's court, it is different. You see, man starts at the deeds and then works away. These must have been your thoughts because this is what's happened. This is what you've done. But with God's court, that's not the way it is. God knows the heart. Now, he doesn't start with the works for himself. He knows the heart. He knows the thoughts. But he's bringing the words, the works, to convince the sinner of the justice of the condemnation which he is going to soon receive. And so when we judge, men judge, they begin at the deeds. But that's not the way it is with God. The order then by the divines, thoughts, words, and deeds, is the order of the process of man's sinfulness and depravity coming out of the heart and going out into the deeds. But it's the order of sin from the heart outward, but it is also the order of God who judges, because he starts at the thoughts. He starts where sin starts, right there in the heart. He knows the heart. And the judgment isn't for him to find out the thoughts. That's not what the judgment's for. The judgment is for the vindication of the righteousness of his condemnation of sinners. And so he is exposing the heart, which he already knows. Whenever we go into the solicitors are going to question and try to find out the motives, and they're going to see what the heart is, but that's not the way it is with God. It's altogether different. It is for the convincing of sinners and the vindication of God for God's glory. So the purpose of the judgment, we will not go into it in detail tonight because it's in the next paragraph, the purpose of the judgment day. We'll not say anything more about that. But just to emphasize, God knows the thoughts. The first reference to thoughts in the Bible is a very interesting reference. It's found in Genesis 6, verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So that's the first reference to what's going on in the hearts of the men before the flood. And the Bible says that God just sees the imagination of their thoughts. And he sees that it's all evil, and it's evil all the time. So God reads a thought, reads a heart. So God's judgment is deep and thorough, extensive, searching, penetrating, and the Bible is very clear in this. Psalm 94, verse 11, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." Isaiah 66, verse 18, "I know their works and their thoughts." I know their thoughts, he says. And then you remember how it says about Jesus, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think you evil in your hearts?" And the difficulty for us to judge thoughts is expressed by James whenever we become judgmental, that kind of way, and be partial to different people. And James is saying, "Are you not partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts?" Can you judge the evil thoughts of someone? Maybe someone said something and you've picked it out of turn and you think you can read their thoughts just because they've said that. Don't think that you can judge men's thoughts. Now, if people talk in a certain way all the time, they will expose their thoughts. But it's very, very difficult to be the judge of thoughts. And only God really can do it infallibly and completely. And we have to be careful whenever we come to judge the hearts of men, unless it's very, very clear by the way that they behave and by the things that they regularly say. Psalm 44, verse 21, "Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." The secrets of the heart. Now, what are the secrets of the heart? Oh, the deepest thoughts. The things that maybe you couldn't even reveal to your friends. Perhaps even not to your spouse. The secrets of the heart. Deep, deep in there. And God knows them. He knoweth the secrets of the heart. And this is used, these ideas are used in relation to the judgment day. For example, in Romans 2, verse 16. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, hid up there deep in the heart, the secrets of men will be judged by Jesus Christ." Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing." All the secret things, whether they're good or whether they're evil. And of course, there are good thoughts, and there are secret things that are good that are hidden and concealed. For example, the righteous man won't let his right hand know what his left hand does very often in some things. And these are secret things, and they'll come into the judgment. And the people of God don't have to be advertising their good works because they try to keep those things secret as much as they can. But God will see them and judge them in that day. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God." And so here it's a reference, the context is of God's people and their thoughts and their deeds, the hidden things of darkness among the sinners, but also the good people of God, to the praise of God and their deeds. But the expression there, "will make manifest the counsels of the heart," the plans, the thoughts, the schemes that go on in the head, oftentimes not seen, but in that day, it'll all be made manifest by the judgment of God.